Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. So I'm exploring the internet, perusing book reviews like I always do to make sure you alphas get the very best. That's when I stumbled across a review of a new short story collection by Alex Olin. One of the stories is about a cult, and it turns out the title of Alex's book is a quote from my favorite philosopher, Arthur Schopenhauer. Arthur is so pessimistic, he makes me look like a cockeyed optimist. I guess that's what I like about art. Then, I discovered that Alex is a fellow Canadian, and she is the director of the University of British Columbia School of Creative Writing. I know what you're thinking. That's the very same writing program that Doug studied at. Correct! I receive a copy of We Want What We Want, and that title is totally appropriate. Alex's stories are amazing, and they are exactly what I want. This is one of the best short story collections I've ever read. She joins us now to talk about the art of the short story and what it was about this phrase, we want what we want, that made her decide to use it as the title of her collection.
In all of these stories, people want things and can't necessarily control the effects or consequences of those desires, or at least they come up against them. And sometimes we do want things that can lead us into the realm of the ridiculous or into the realm of making mistakes. But it's also how we learn about ourselves. We learn about what's lacking in our lives by figuring out what we want that we don't currently have. So that's the string that ties all of these stories together, this question of what are we looking for, what are we searching for, and what happens when we try to find it.
Yeah, and that's why there's this great sense of continuity throughout the book. To me, it kind of made me think that it was the literary equivalent of a concept album because of this thread that you have running through this connective tissue. And that's another thing that makes it such a strong and cohesive collection. Is this desire to remake one's life, is that something that resonates with you?
Well, first of all, I just want to say how much I love that you use the phrase concept album, because I think that that's a really great analogy for short story collections as a whole. I think that the experience of reading short stories all together is like an album in that each story is a bit different, but hopefully they do come from or result in a unified aesthetic experience.
Oh, thank you.
I would say that a lot of the characters in this book are coming up against a point in their lives. Sometimes it's middle age, sometimes it's coming to the end of an experience, either a relationship or a job or just a period in their lives. And they're looking back on it and trying to figure out how they got there and what it means. And I think that is something that resonates with me personally. I've moved around a lot. I've lived in a lot of different places in the US and Canada. And I am still connected to some people from different chapters of my life and not connected to others. And I think a lot about that and what it means and how our lives are made up of some experience that are continuous and others that are discontinuous. And the things that change and the things that stay the same, I'm always grappling with that and trying to figure out what I can take with me going forward from those experiences.
Mm-hmm. But there isn't a different kind of life that you'd rather be living. Like you're happy with what you're doing now, right? Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely. But, you know, one of the great things about being a writer is that in my work, I can experience all kinds of other lives that I'm not living myself. So I kind of get to have the best of both worlds. I can live my life that I'm very happy with, but also explore alternative experiences through the lives of my characters. And I'm pretty sedate and well-behaved in my day-to-day life. And so it's great for me to have the outlet of putting the mistakes or the wayward desires into the characters in my books rather than having to experience those consequences myself.
Very well said. I was really struck by the EFP, the energy, flow, and pace of your writing. You don't waste any words, and your opening sentences grabbed my attention right away. How hard do you have to work to accomplish this, to use the fewest number of words and to create these really gripping openings?
Well, thank you for that. I love a strong opening. I love to plunge the reader right into the moment of the story. And I think that's one of the strengths of the short story as a form, is that it's very compressed. It's very brief. You have to get the reader right into the lives of your characters and explain what's happening. And then almost before you know it, it's over. So for me, that's very pleasurable, is like whittling down a longer piece of writing to focus only on the strongest and most powerful aspects of a person's life.
Mm-hmm. Most short story collections focus on short narratives, and you take that even further by focusing on small human granular moments. You just allow the reader in to experience this character moment, and that's it. What is your approach to story structure?
I'm really interested in story structure. I'm really interested in stories and their relationship to time. As you say, I do love to go really deep into some particular granular moment in time, but then I also really am drawn to leaps in time, where a story might then follow the person like 5 or 10 years later and see what the impacts have been of that. And I think that's something that fiction is really well situated to explore, the interior of people's lives and then the kind of echoing ripple effects that ensue, you know, from someone's childhood to adulthood or several years later. So I often think about stories as having a physical shape or structure, a story in the shape of a triangle or in the shape of a prism. And then I'll try to write something that, at least in my mind, reflects that structure, and hope it brings me to a kind of more inventive way of putting scenes together.
Mm-hmm. I've read that when you read stories that you admire, you find mapping their forms visually to be very helpful.
I do. I'm someone who, I really love visual art, and I find it a real inspiration for writing. And when I read, I have an almost synesthetic experience where I see the story in a visual way, and I'll often draw a map or a diagram of it. So to me, a certain story might, it might look like a pendulum swing in my mind, and that's how I see the journey of the characters across the page. Or a story might look like an aqueduct, with some things kind of happening above and then other things happening closer to the water below. And for me, rather than thinking about the kind of conventional beginning, middle, or end, or a kind of, oh, there's a beginning and then a climax and then a denouement, that many people learn that kind of structure in high school. For me, thinking about these alternative maps or diagrams of stories is really inspiring, and it's also feels to me more true to the complicated, fragmented nature of our lives today. So I use those maps, and then I try to think, well, what map would make sense for my characters in this story, in this situation? What can I draw for them that would make sense?
Mm-hmm. So do you ever map your own stories?
I do sometimes. Yeah, absolutely. And I often think of, where can I find the movement or the shape in my story? Where is there a swerve? I like to think of a story as having a sinuous kind of movement, like a snake slithering along the ground, in the sense that I don't want it to be a straightforward experience that's super linear from point A to point B. I hope that by finding some kind of unexpected angles or triangulations or curves, then I can surprise and delight the reader in the same way that I feel surprise and delight in a feeling of discovery or the unexpected myself when I'm writing these stories.
Which is why, I guess, the reason that, correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't figure out your stories in advance. Like, you don't write an outline. You just kind of go where the story and the characters take you. Is that right?
That's right. I'm not an outliner, and I'm always super envious of writers who are good outliners. I met someone recently who had an Excel spreadsheet for her novel where she had it all laid out with the character journeys and the timeline, and I was fascinated by that, in part because it's so different from my own process. I love the part of writing that is mysterious and alchemical, where I myself don't know what is going to happen next. It's a real process of discovery and exploration, investigation, almost like an archaeology of character, like discovering who these people are and what would make sense for them and how they might react. Putting a normal character in an extraordinary situation, like my story, The Brooks Brother Guru, where a woman finds herself in the context of this strange cult environment. My mother loved music, she says, especially the Beatles. George was her favorite. She said the mark of a sensitive person was to pick George. What she says next makes her realize she's drunk. I wish I knew things like you do. The guru smiles again, and now he seems not fussy, but gentle and kind. You could learn them if you joined us here. The idea that she would stay here with these khaki-clad scholar men, Wendy to their lost boys, Snow White to their dwarfs, is so absurd that she can't even think of how to answer. And yet, she doesn't say no. To learn about art and music and literature and philosophy, wouldn't it be a good life? And also, it's like a drug to be wanted. For me, what I especially enjoy about that is the kind of explosive potential of what could happen in that situation where I myself don't know in advance what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. The theme of addiction finds its way into many of your stories. Casino is probably the most obvious example. If you don't mind sharing, what is it about addiction that compels you?
I do write a lot about addiction. I've had some personal experiences with it, but I also think it's something I'm drawn to because I'm drawn to the real challenges of caretaking. And I think the experience of addiction or the experience of caring for people who are going through addiction is just a really hard situation to be in. You want to take care of someone, you want to rescue them, you feel frustrated by them. There's a limit to what you can actually do for someone. So it's just an incredibly complicated and challenging aspect of life that more and more of us are dealing with all the time. So I think that's why I return to it so often in my work, is like thinking about what it means to try to take care of another person is endlessly interesting to me. And I think it's an important thing for us to write about and think about.
Mm-hmm. In several stories in We Want What We Want, you deal with a mother who has left and a father who has struggled to keep things together in the mother's absence. What is it about this dynamic that you decide to return to it in different stories?
That's an interesting question. I don't know that I have a strong intent about it. I will say that I do write a lot about women and motherhood and parenthood in general. And I'm interested in trying to write about motherhood in ways that are complicated and three-dimensional. I think some of the cultural discourse around motherhood can be quite binary, like either people are perfect and angelic mothers or they are terrible and demonized. And I'm interested in all the kind of flawed and messy middle space between those two extremes. So when I write about women who find motherhood challenging, that's part of what I'm interested in doing, is sort of testifying to the complexities around, again, caretaking and families for women.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. In the acknowledgments to your book, you say that stories are your first and greatest love as a writer. Short stories are my first and greatest love as a reader. And I think that the main reason is, for me, that in a short story, a writer has the chance to take more creative risks because they don't have to hold the reader's attention for as long as they do over the course of a novel. I'm curious as to why the short story appeals to you.
I couldn't agree with you more about the short story as a place where writers can take risks. I think the short story is a real playground for experimentation. It's an incredibly elastic form. You can try things out in a short story that either in terms of the form or a challenging character or an approach to situation would just be really, really difficult to sustain. And then there's something about the experience of reading a story that has always spoken to my heart and mind in my own experience. So I think that reading a great short story is like hearing a song and then it lives on in your mind. It resonates. And there's something about the compression and brevity of it that makes it all the more resonant. When I first started reading short stories, people like Alice Munro, who's a great Canadian short story writer, the first time I read her work, I just felt like the back of my head was going to come off. I just felt both taken into someplace that was very new and unfamiliar, and I also felt deeply recognized and known myself, the way that she wrote so intimately about these characters' lives. I just absolutely fell in love with that experience, and when I write, I'm always writing back to that.
Do you have an all-time, this is a tough question, I know, but as you found out, Alex, I tend to ask tough questions. I said sarcastically, do you have a favorite Alice Munro all-time favorite Alice Munro short story?
Oh, it's hard to pick just one. I really love so many of her stories, but I'll never forget as a teenager reading her story, Wild Swans, which is about a young teenage girl who has a kind of unsavory experience on a train. And the way that it's written is so kind of morally neutral and emotionally authentic. And I thought, oh boy, this story is telling me something about the world that I really need to hear.
Alex Solon, thank you for joining us, and thank you for writing We Want What We Want. It's one of the best short story collections I've ever read.
Thanks so much, Doug. I really appreciate it.
Alex Solon is the author of the short story collection We Want What We Want. Find out more at wpr.org/beta.